appropriate to discuss one of the famous chapters that is read in the context of Rosh Hashanah and the month of Elul, and that is the 27th Psalm. Okay? Well, it's a fun one.
Really great.
Yeah, it's a very beautiful one.
Great idea.
And I thought this will hopefully give us a little bit of understanding of what we say, and it'll give us a little bit of an oomph to bring us into Rosh Hashanah. Bring us into Rosh Hashanah. Because we all need a little bit of that oomph. You know, every year we know it's Rosh Hashanah is a especially this year. It's very it came very early, Rosh Hashanah, right? Never comes on time, but this year it came very early.
Yeah. Late early.
So I want to share with you some of the themes in this Psalm 27. Why do we read L'David Hashem Ori during the month of Elul? Why do we do that? Did I do anything wrong?
No.
Okay, fine. I feel like I'm back to my students there. I'm misbehaving. Okay, fine. It's all right. It's good. It's all good. Anybody know why we read this psalm that's in front of you? The first, the Hebrew is the top paragraph. The middle paragraph is translation. After that, it's Rashi. Some of the comments are Rashi. You read it in the month of Elul, going all the way through Sukkot. What is the connection between the David Hashem Ori and the month of Elul and this whole period of time? It's actually not an easy question at all. The opinion of the Vilna Gaon actually is to not even say it during this time. But the minhag of the Klal Yisrael is to say, what's the connection? So let's just keep that question in our minds. Maybe you can come up with an idea or two while we read it. Okay. So I'm going to read just the beginning, the first few lines. L'David, Psalm of David, Hashem Ori V'yishi. So God is my or. God is my or. What does or mean?
Light.
My light. God is my light. V'yishi. What is the word yishi?
Salvation.
Yesha. Right? Yeshua. Right? Okay? We know that. Whatever. Mi ira. From whom shall I fear? Hashem ma'oz chayai, God is the stronghold of my life, mimi efchad. From whom should I fear? Again, the word fear is synonymous, ira and efchad. They obviously mean something somewhat different, but in the translation here, they draw a distinction between fear and frightened. If anybody here can tell me the difference between fear and frightened, other than just going to the Microsoft Word thesaurus and figuring out it's different, it's not so simple to figure out what the difference is. But we have here, David HaMelech says as follows. David HaMelech says, Hashem is my light, He's my salvation. Therefore, from whom should I fear? Hashem is my stronghold, the stronghold of my life. From whom should I be afraid? So before we do anything, what can you surmise from this one verse? Like, what's the context? What's the context here? I mean, obviously you don't have much to go on, but what can you sort of figure out?
If I believe in Hashem, I shouldn't be afraid.
So give me a little bit so broader. So what is David, what's the situation that David must be in? Yeah, well, he might have good reason to fear, right? In other words, while he wouldn't say, why should, you know, if Hashem is my light and my salvation, from whom should I be afraid? unless he has a good reason to be afraid, right? He's speaking about something that's not easy to achieve. And what is the mess? So, in other words, the context is that David is speaking about fighting enemies, which is a classic context of Psalms, right? David had a lot of enemies, and the commentaries try to figure out which one it is. And Hashem is called three things in this verse. What are the three things that God is called?
Light, salvation, and stronghold.
Light, salvation, and stronghold. Right? Light, salvation, and stronghold. What do you think the difference between those two might be? Ori and Yishi, light and salvation. Okay, it's very hard to figure out, but if you had to take a guess, or light, right? Light. What is that? What would be if or is light? Then what might yish'i mean?
Hashem.
What's that? Hashem is my light. So light refers to God saving David, God being the illuminating presence of King David. That's Ori. So therefore comes the Ibn Ezra and he says, that means that God saves me during the dark. Do you figure out, can you figure that out why? Right? He's my light, that means I'm in the dark and he's my light. And then, says the Ibn Ezra, that must mean that Yish'i, he is my salvation during the day. So, what do you think that means, sort of using a metaphor? So, in the dark, I need light. So, what do I need in the light?
Salvation.
Why do I need help? If it's light, why do I need help?
To stay in the light.
Very good. To stay in the light, not to go off, right? Good. That's one possibility. What else? Any other thoughts?
Well, in the light, it can be scarier, actually, because you can see it.
In other words, you can see your enemies, right? You can see your enemies.
Yeah.
There's the fright. Very good.
That's really
like,
good.
Sharon, that was excellent. Okay, fine. Very good. So that's probably one idea that Hashem helps me in times when I'm in the dark, and Hashem helps me when I see the challenges. Two different types of challenges. Sometimes I don't know what's ahead of me, and sometimes I do know what's ahead of me. Okay, good. But that's the basic sort of like, you know, he's in a place of fear. What idea is David HaMelech expressing here? What's the concept that he's expressing?
That Hashem is his savior.
To trust in Hashem.
And when that's the case, then what?
He shouldn't be afraid.
In other words, a means by which a Jew can overcome fear is a very important idea. This is a golden idea, this concept. A means by which a Jew can overcome fear is what? Is how? How can a Jew overcome fear?
Trusting God.
By trusting in God, right? By trusting God. In other words, does somebody have, by the way, a written piece of paper, like notes? Like yes. my scroll?
Oh, no.
Maybe I have my scroll anywhere somewhere? No?
Maybe it's here.
I really came super prepared tonight. Huh? I actually prepared for a few hours this year.
Oh, wow.
But I actually got almost every piece of paper that was to come with. Other than that, we're doing great.
There's writing.
It's fine. Sorry. I have what to say anyway.
Did you want this?
No.
It's great.
So let's think about this idea for a second. In other words, when a Jew is afraid, there are many reasons for people to be afraid, right? A lot of times that a person could be afraid because what's going to be with health? What's going to be with finances? What's going to be with shiduchim? What's going to be? Everybody has their own list, right? So there are things that cause us fear. So comes King David and he says the following idea. He says, here's an antidote to fear. Recognize that the ultimate source, the ultimate place that you can rely on, it's a very liberating concept, and I'm going to elaborate in a second. Ultimately speaking, if you have faith in God, if you recognize God as your ma'oz, as your bedrock, so then there's really nothing to be afraid of. Why? How? But you're walking into a big interview, right? And if you don't get this job, so then you have no idea how you're going to make parnasa. So therefore, why shouldn't you be afraid? So, of course, you are afraid. We are afraid, right? David's saying, I'm afraid. But he's saying that if you realize that at the end of the day, that God has a plan, that you're connected to God, so even though the result might not be as you think, you cannot micromanage the result, you only can do what you can do, but if you recognize that you have an ultimate bedrock, and therefore your principles won't be compromised, how often do we right? You know, we know we're in situations where we say, well, what's going to be like, you know, I sometimes I'm in the middle of the Shemona Esrei, and I daven sometimes a little bit long, and there's somebody I want to speak to at the end of davening, and I'm afraid that if I daven too long, that maybe he's going to leave, and I want to ask him for a favor, I want to ask him maybe for some support, whatever it is, and I'm grappling, I'm sharing with you a very personal moment, and I'm grappling, I was thinking, so, that's all right, don't worry about it. Nobody was on the show anyway. So, and I'm grappling, and I think to myself, this is ridiculous. I'm speaking to the Ribono Shel Olam now. I'm speaking to the Master of the Universe. He can, as my students might say, not the ones now, previous ones, he can hook me up better than the person I'm going to speak to. In other words, I won't compromise my principles. You follow what I'm saying? I won't compromise my principles if I feel a deep stronghold in God. I won't compromise my principles. My Shabbos is not my Shabbos. It's not going to be compromised if I think I won't make the deal. I won't be able to get to close the business situation. I'm not going to compromise because I know, ultimately speaking, I can close that circle. It gives a person a tremendous menuchas and nefesh when you walk into a situation and you stop for one moment and you crystallize that moment and you say, I'm scared out of my mind. You know, I don't know what's going to be. And then I stop for a second and I say, I'm holding on to you, God. Hashem ma'oz chayai. Whatever happens, I know that you run the world. When a person does that, it gives them a tremendous menuchas and nefesh. We say this idea, serenity, peace of mind. Very interesting thing. In the Shabbos Mincha, you know, that Shabbos, in general, Shabbos is the most interesting set of silent prayers of the Shemona Esrei, because usually the weekday, what happens is that you say the same Shemona Esrei every single day, right? Three times a day, same Shemona Esrei. On Yom Tov, you say a different Shemona Esrei, but Shachos Mincha Maariv, it's the same Shemona Esrei. It's the same one, it's just different than the rest of the week, right? You know what I'm talking about? For example, on Yom Tov, you start the Shemona Esrei by saying, Atov v'chartonu mikol ha'amim. You chose us from all the nations. And you talk about wanting to go back to Yerushalayim, etc. On Shabbos, each one of the Shemona Esreis, each one of the silent prayers, each one has a different theme. You ever notice that? So for example, what is the Friday night, oh Rabbi, don't do this to me, please. Come on, like, yeah, Friday night, I'm sleeping. Don't bother me Friday night. What's the Friday night theme of the Shemona Esrei?
Friday night,
what do we say on Friday night? We say, it's all Shabbos. So Friday night is the Shabbos of creation. Friday night is the Shabbos of creation. In other words, Vayichul Hashemayim Va'aretz. If you look in the Shemona Esrei, it's the Shabbos. It's the first Shabbos. It's the what's the fancy term? The primordial Shabbos. Right? It's the first one. It's the Shabbos that predated. You with me? It's the Shabbos that predated the Jewish people. That's the first Shabbos. That's the first Shemona Esrei. And what is the second? What's the theme of the second Shemona Esrei? Where we say, Yismach Moshe b'matnas chelko, let Moshe be happy with the present that God gave him. That's the Shabbos that was given at Mount Sinai. We say, Ushnei luchot avanim horib yado. Moshe took with him the two tablets. V'chatu b'hem, and in the tablets it says Shmirat Shabbat, v'chein chatu b'Torah Techa, and so too it's written in your Torah. So, the Friday night Shemona Esrei is the past, the earliest Shabbos. The Shabbos Shemona Esrei, the Shabbos day is the one given at Mount Sinai. And what's the third Shemona Esrei, the Mincha, Shabbos Mincha? That's talking about the Shabbos that we haven't yet experienced. That's talking about the future. That's futuristic. Ata echad, you're one. B'shimcha echad, and your name is one. U'mi ka'amcha Yisrael go'echad b'aretz. And who's like your nation that's one? That's the Shabbos that we're going to talk about, that we hope and pray in the future will be in the Messianic era. Right? The Shabbos of Mincha has not yet played itself out. And, without going into all the details, Friday night is Abraham, Shabbos morning is Yitzchak, and Shabbos Mincha is Yaakov. Friday night is feminine, Shabbos is masculine, Shabbos day is masculine. That's why you say Va, which is the feminine term for Shabbat, Ve'enuchu Ba, and then Shabbos morning, Ve'enuchu Bo, that's masculine, and then in the future it's Ve'enuchu Bam, it's together. A unity. Friday night is the Shechina. Shabbos day is the Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's the Shechina is feminine. Kadosh Baruch Hu is masculine. And then in the future, we hope that comes together, right? That's the Messianic era. So let's look with me, think with me for a moment. Let's think about the Shabbos Mincha theme. I'm going to read to you, in our mind's eye, I'm going to read to you some of the lines we say. We say, "Ata echad v'shimcha echad, mikamcha Yisrael go echad baretz." You're one, and the Jewish people are one, etc. Then we say, "Yom minucha ukdusha leamcha nasata." Let's go through the words. Yom minucha. What does that mean? Yom minucha, a day of rest. Ukedusha, and holiness to your nation you gave. Avraham Yagel, Yitzchak Yeranein, Yaakov Vanav Yaduchuvo. Avraham Yitzchak will rejoice. Okay, now follow. Here's the next few lines, very important. Minuchat Ahava Unidava. And what type of rest is it? It's a rest of Ahava. What does Ahava mean?
Love.
Unidava. Donation. Something very special. It's a rest of you feel very good about, you happily submit to. Minuchat emet ve'emuna, a menucha of truth and of faith. Minuchat shalom v'shalva, a menucha, a rest of serenity, of peace and serenity. Minuchat shalom v'shalva v'ashkeit v'avetach, silence v'avetach and confidence. Okay, you with me so far? And now, here's the part that seems to make no sense. The next five words. So we speak about this beautiful menucha of Shabbos, right? It's fantastic. That's why many of us have a minhag to go to sleep on Shabbos. I know we don't always know that we're doing that. We're trying to fulfill this concept of serenity and peace of mind. But maybe before you hit the pillow, have kavana to do the mitzvah of fulfilling the menucha of Shabbos. So after that we say, Ba'al menuchatam. And the word al, what does the word al mean? And on top of that menucha. On top of that menucha, meaning the menucha is the support. The menucha is the bedrock. On top of that menucha, yakdishu et shemecha. The Jew will sanctify your name. Now the word yakdish, the term yakdishu et shemecha, that phrase is usually means kiddush Hashem. And kiddush Hashem usually has a very specific meaning. Anybody know what that means usually? Kiddush Hashem? Means giving up your life. Giving up your life. Like the Gemara talks about this idea, right? The Jew has to give up his life for certain situations. So I have a simple question. In the beginning, right, it starts off very relaxing. It's a menucha of peace, of tranquility. You think about sipping martinis, right, at the Mediterranean, the Club Med vacation. It's unbelievable, right? You know, it's one of the lows, right, or the Fairmont, or whatever, you know, Banff, whatever it is, you know, you're hanging out. You're hanging out in nature. Sequoia, you're enjoying the backpacking. You're backpacking with 1,000 pounds on your back, but it's so comfortable. It's gishmak, right? So it's very comforting, it's very relaxing. And then a minute later, we talk about giving up our life. And because we're comfortable, because we're relaxed, so then if somebody wants to kill us, no problem. where it sort of like changes the tone, right?
Like it. Up your life for in terms of the Shabbat, or in what context?
No, not talking about giving up. In other words, Shabbos. You don't have to give up your life for Adonai Barley Shabbos. In other words, if you're asked to give up your life for Adonai Barley Shabbos, you can Barley Shabbos. But it says in the Shabbos, the third Shmona Esrei, which is talking about the Messianic era, talking about the futuristic Shabbos, it says that Shabbos is the Bechina of Menucha. It's an aspect of comfort, of relaxation. And we're all comforted by that. It's like very, and it's very beautiful and picturesque. And then immediately after that, we say, and because we're all resting, we're all relaxing, if somebody asks you to give up your life, you know, then I'll be happy to do it, no problem. You know, it's great. It's from the martini to the fire. Like, what's going on here? It's like it's such a non sequitur. It doesn't flow. It doesn't flow. But we read it all the time. You know, any thoughts? Because of the question is the I thought it was being clear. The question is as follows: that we start off talking about the Menucha of Shabbos. It's a beautiful, restful scene, and we end by saying, and because we're relaxed, we're happy to give up our life. Because of this base of relaxation, because of that, right, Yakdishu HaShemecha, right, then if the Jew is called on, they will sacrifice their life. Like, there's no connection here, but that's what we say it every Shabbos. What do you say? Any thoughts? So my Rebbe, Moshe Weinberger, said something, what do you say?
I'm just thinking.
Yeah.
Gives us the Shabbos, a day of rest, and he gives us his Shabbos is it, the way you said it's the past, present, and the future. It's like our whole life. So because Hashem gives us this, we have to give back.
Because you want to say, that's a nice idea. Because God gave us this great present of Shabbos, so we have to be willing to give up our life. But you don't have to give up your life to keep Shabbos, though.
Okay, fine.
I have another idea.
What do you say?
That is that, you know, in the Shabbos week, the guf doesn't dominate, the nefesh dominates.
Right, the soul dominates,
so,
yeah.
So the nefesh is ready to, well, sometimes in our lives, the nefesh is ready to just jump.
Right.
And so it's an easier thing to say, I would give up my life then, because the nefesh is dominating.
Shabbos clues into the soul, so then what? So then it gives you certain powers, it gives you certain strength, right?
To be able to just
right.
be dominant.
Okay, very good. Very, very
what
good.
What does goof mean?
Goof means body. Okay. Goof means body, and nefesh, neshama means soul. So my Rebbe said like that. I think it's a very beautiful and simple explanation. It's really the one line that we just read in the Davar Hashem Ori, and that is as follows. Shabbos, which is the concept of menucha, is really not about, you know, being. You know, there are many students who think that a great Shabbos is a winter Shabbos, the greatest Shabbos ever, right? Because by 5 p.m. you can be in pajamas, you know, you get to sleep a bagel and a half. A bagel is 12 hours. The half is, you know, whatever. You get to shul by 11 o'clock the next day, just in time for the Anam Zemiros, Enkel Okenu, get in the cholent. You're home by 1 o'clock or 12:30, back in pajamas, and you know, finish up the Shabbos for Avdol, and then you're ready to hit the town most of Shabbos. And I say to my students, "How was Shabbos, Rabbi? It was a great Shabbos. It's fantastic. What did you do? I slept for 18 hours. You know, Goyim also could sleep. But they have phones, but they can turn it off. They can also take the phones, you know, off the hook. They can also turn off their cell phones." I never thought of that, Rabbi. Yeah, talk. Like, you know, what's Shabbos? Shabbos, or the concept of Shabbos, is being able to pull out of the world. Being able to say, I mean, we know that, right? Shabbos is, life is crazy, right? Erev Shabbos, Friday afternoon, is crazy. By many people, it's crazy, right? I always like to say, and it makes no difference when Shabbos is.
Yeah.
Shabbos could be at 4:30 p.m. Shabbos could be at 5:30 in Juneau, Alaska, in the middle of the summer. The one from family, the father's telling his daughter, "It's 2:30 in the morning. Shabbos is in 5 minutes. Get out of the shower, right?" Like, you know that's happening, right? You know that's happening because it's human nature, right? Friday is crazy, right? And Shabbos is relaxing, And, by the way, the rabbis speak about this world. We spoke about this idea in previous times. The rabbis say that this world is called Friday. Mm-hmm. Right? This world is called Friday. Hmm. And the next world is called Shabbos. And that's why we say something very beautiful in the Shabbos insertion of the benching. In the Birkat HaMazon, we say, Harachaman, Hu Yanchilenu, God, you should bring us to a Yom Shekulo Shabbat. Bring us to a day, or a period of time, that's all Shabbos. That's the next world. Well, the metaphor is, if the whole next world is Shabbos, that means this whole world is Erev Shabbos, right? Friday. And that's why the rabbis say, you've heard me say this before, Mi she'torach be'erev Shabbos. If you work hard on Friday, yochal b'Shabbos. You get to eat on Shabbos. This world is Friday. And I often like to joke, and if you don't work hard on Friday, and you come into Shabbos, and you didn't cook anything, what do? Take out a can of tuna, right? Take a can of Starkist, and that's what your Shabbos is going to be like. And then I like to say, and who wants to have a star-kissed Olam Haba? Right? You know, who wants to have a star-kissed Olam Haba? Okay, it could be. It's not the oil, it's the water, it's the spray, whatever. But at the end of the day, it's still tuna fish, right? So the idea of Shabbos is I pull out of the world. I pull out of the world. By me pulling out of the world, I'm able to look at the world and see what the purpose of the world is. That's what Shabbos is. Right? 6 days a week, God created the world in 6 days, and the 6 days are full of details, and Shabbos is where it all comes together. Right? And this idea is intuitive, and it's also sourced, and we can spend hours on this with Mikoros. I'm not interested in doing that. I'll just put out one in Psalm 94, which is Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbat, which is what we're familiar with. We say on Shabbos a few times. You know what Psalm 94 talks about? It doesn't talk about Shabbos at all. Except for the first line, it has nothing to do with Shabbos. What does it talk about? You may know what it talks about, Psalm 94? It talks about why the righteous suffer and the wicked prosper. Ish ba'ar lo yedach silu even ezot. Before Hashem kibo Yisef, when the wicked, they grow, they prosper. Why is that? And the end of the psalm gives the answer. It says, tzadik katama yifrach. A tzadik is like a date tree. Right? It will take a long time for it to produce. Ke'erez balvanon yisket, like the cedars of Lebanon, which also grow high, but it takes a long time. But you need to really have patience. Shabbos represents clarity. You might have to wait 100, 200, 300 years to see why the righteous suffered and the wicked prosper. You won't see it right away. Shabbos is when things become clear. It's the next world. It represents a certain menuchat ha-nefesh. Menuchat ha-nefesh doesn't mean sipping a martini out in the Mediterranean. Menuchat ha-nefesh means, God, I trust you. I believe in you. I know you're real. And I don't always understand you. But I know with clarity that you're there. And therefore, whatever happens in life, I walk in with a serenity and peace of mind. So if my boss wants me to do something immoral, it doesn't make a difference. He's not my boss. You are my boss. Ma'oz chayai. Mimi efchad. I won't be afraid of anybody. Menuchas hanefesh means I can give up my life. Because I have a purpose, and I know what my ultimate purpose is. If a Jew plugs into the real concept of menucha, which is, I'm at peace with myself. I know I'm doing the right thing. You know, so many people, you know, if somebody doesn't have if somebody is not centered, right, if they're always looking to find themselves, if they don't, they're struggling, so then they'll fall in so many different places, right? You know, you talk. It's one of the illnesses of our generation. People don't believe in themselves. They don't have a confidence, and they're looking here and they're looking there. They're shopping all around. Who am I? The new me, the old me, this and that. You know, it's like who am I? Right? It's menuchat hanefesh. I am who I am. You know, I don't define I don't need you. I wouldn't mind, but I don't need you to define who I am. And I don't need you to give me approbation because I have menuchat ha-nefesh. Right? And when a Jew walks into Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur and he's able to say, you know, I don't care what the rest of the world says. Hashem ori v'yishi. Mi ira. Hashem ha'oz chayayim mi evchad. It's a whole different thing. It's a whole different ball of wax. And then that gives you the confidence to face, now it's not just the enemies from outside, right? It's all the fears that we all have. Right? All the, you know, we all have, whatever those fears are, right? It's real. Those fears are real. Hashem created us with that. But I know, God, I hold on to you. Today, I teach in this school. It's a very sweet school, right? It's a new school. It's been Benos Devar. It's 4 years old, 50 kids. So it's, I walked into the teacher's meeting a few days ago, and there are about 20 women teachers, whatever it is, and there are Rabbi Summers and I sitting in I'm sitting in the back of the room, and I said to him, "This looks like a reverse Mahadran bus." In Israel, he said to me, "Thank you for doubling the male population in school." So I have to tell you, I walked into teaching. I've been teaching 20 years. First day of school, still petrified. One of the teachers walks in, and she happens to be the daughter of the principal. I'm not mentioning the name because of the tape. Daughter of the principal. She's a teacher for many years. And she's walking in for her first day, and she says to her mother, she says, I'm just coming into my mother to get a kiss before I can walk into teach. I need a chizuk. It's very cute. You're in a boys, you're in a boys' school. So like, you know, and I was like, whoa, this is a very different world. This is like, you know what I'm saying? But We all have the stuff of life, but Hashem, menuchasam, with your menucha, I can face the world. So that's what David HaMelech says right away. That's the first concept that he says. Let's take a look. There's one more thing I want to do. There's much more here, but I want to just focus on one more line. And next time we meet, we'll go into some of the other ideas. So then David says, so verse 2 and 3, Sharon, are you still there? Okay, maybe not. So verse 2 and 3 is David HaMelech says that even when people are want to consume me, when my enemies are looking to bring me down, I'm still not going to be afraid. If they wage war, I'm still not going to be afraid. Right? I have confidence. I'm just skipping through 2 and 3, verse 2 and 3. Now, verse 4. Now this verse has already been made famous because it's a song, many different tunes to this song. Acha sha'alti me'eis Hashem, ota avakesh, shifti be'eis Hashem kol yimei chayai, lachazos menoam Hashem ulevaker be'chalo. There is one thing that I ask from you, Hashem. This is what I request: to dwell in the house of God my whole life, to see the pleasantness of God, and to visit in your abode, to visit in your tent. Is that the correct? How do they translate that? Verse 4: to visit his temple, Heichal, to visit his temple. So what is, so David HaMelech here is asking, simple pshat, what is he asking here? There's one thing, God, I'm asking you the following thing. This is my one request. You know, I'm not afraid of anything. And this is my one request. Now, it could be that David HaMelech is saying, and this is how many explain the basic concept here, that David HaMelech is saying the reason why David HaMelech is saying that even though I can find rest amongst turbulence, even though David HaMelech is saying, even when my enemies seek to consume me, I have the ability to not be afraid, but nevertheless, I still don't want that to be the norm of my life. In other words, if I need to give up my life, if I need to face down my enemies, if that's what you ask me to do, then I'll do it. But between you and me, God, I'd rather not have to deal with that. Right? I'd rather do what? I'd rather not have to survive, I'd rather thrive. Right? I'd rather not have to deal with my enemies, I'd rather just like to do what? What's he asking for?
Hang out.
To hang out. To hang out in the house of God. Right? To see, what else is it? What does he want to see? The pleasantness of God. Right? Ulivaker behechalo, and to visit in his chamber. Are there any questions, comments on this line? Do you see anything about this verse that would raise a question?
It just looks like that he's tired of the, all the struggle.
He
just wants to rest.
He wants to rest, good. What's the question, though? Where's the, what do you say, Gene?
Some repetition.
Oh, it seems to be that there's major repetition going on here. In fact, we could probably cut the verse into two and get the basic meaning by taking either half. So, for example, Achat Sha'alti Me'et Hashem Ota Avakesh, I could just say, there's one thing I ask from God, right? And I could say it that way, or I could just say, Ota Avakesh, this I ask. And then, Shifti Be'et Hashem Kol Yimei Chayai, let me dwell in the house of God my whole life. That's the request. Or, Lachazot Benoam Hashem Ulevaker Be'chalo, see the pleasantness of God and to visit His house. So that's also the same thing as Shifti Be'et Hashem, no? So he seems to be saying the same thing. He's repeating himself. Double repetition here. You follow that? Achat Shalom Be'et Hashem Otav Akesh. There's one thing I ask. This is what I ask, Lord. Shifti Be'et Hashem, let me sit in the house of God, right? Ulevaker Be'chalo, and to visit in His chamber. So it's repetitive. That's an obvious question. Another point I just want to raise here is that
maybe stuff is out of order.
What do you mean?
Maybe you want to see the pleasantness and then visit the temple and dwell in the house. In that order, rather than dwell in the house, see the pleasantness.
And then visit. Right? So that's the point I want to make here. There seems to be a bit of a contradiction. If you think deeply here, Shifti Bevet Hashem, what does that mean, Shifti? Shevet, La Shevet. To sit. Right? If you're sitting, you're comfortable, right? Sitting in the house of God, you know, take the shoes off, right? You have a Coke, whatever it is, you're like, you're sitting, you're relaxed. But, you know, we have like in the Western Kila Kiddush, we now have the chairs there, right? You know, a few people sit in the chairs. And my wife was Mechadish, that thing going on there. You know, the chairs, the whole thing, the chair section. Well, I'm relaxed. I don't need to get, you know, the food will come to me. I don't go to the food. Shifti b'beis Hashem, right? I'm sitting, right? Levaker b'heichalo. Levaker means what? Look, it's to visit. If I'm visiting, right, visitors don't sit unless they're told to sit, unless they're given permission to sit. So Shifti implies what? Shifti implies a sense of dwelling, of comfort, and Levaker implies visiting. So that seems to be a little bit of a different nuance. A little bit different nuance. Hold on 1 second. So we've asked three questions. We've asked, one question is, it seems to be repetitive, twice. That's an obvious question. A second question is, as Myrna pointed out, the order. First you visit, then you dwell. And the third question, third obvious question is that it seems to be two different things. It's not just a question of order, but one is to visit, and one is to dwell, and visiting is very different than dwelling, right? So how does one reconcile that? So I want to share with you two explanations for what's going on in this verse. These are two very famous explanations, and we'll end with this. That's a fine approach. I want to share with you. Okay, I want to share with you two different ideas here, and then we'll end with this. Number one, And I think we all can acknowledge as we walk into Rosh Hashanah. You know, I think we all know, we all have things that we have to work on, right? We all have lists. And we, at this time of the year, we begin to ask ourselves, did we knock off something from the list, you know? Now, some of you might be asking yourselves, I don't even remember what was on that list. You know, sometimes it's so long ago, right? It's 11 months ago, right? What did I say I was going to do again? So it happens to be that I have a file called personal. Okay? No, you can't look at it. I have a file called personal. And in that file, I sort of look at it and see what I said I was going to do. And you know, it's, sometimes it's very, very depressing, right? It's very depressing because, you know, I said I was going to do it, but I didn't do it. Sometimes you go and say, hey, Tuck, I did some of this. So, you know, we all are looking to find a way for there to be not the same old, right? We are Rosh Hashanah veterans, right? We've been through it. And the challenge of making each year unique and special and recognizing it as a vehicle of growth, that's a real challenge. And in general, the challenge in Orthodoxy, which is not the challenge in non-Orthodoxy, is to find tremendous excitement in the daily grind. Right? Every day, right? Orthodox Jew is the consistency. So therefore, many say as follows, David HaMelech is saying, God, this is what I want. I want to be able to have the comfort, Shivti Beveis Hashem. This is what I want from you, God. Achash Alti Meis Hashem, Usav Akesh. This is what I'm asking from you. On the one hand, Shifti Beveis Hashem. I want to be very comfortable in the house of God. I like being consistent. I like the intimacy. I like not having the need to sort of be uncomfortable in my surroundings, not knowing what's going on, being a greener, right? You know, being somebody that's, you know, somebody walks into shul, you know, is the sitter up, is this, you know, sitter backwards, and all the different things that we know, though. So I like not being that person. I was recently at, this is just an insight into how you can tell, recently at a minyan, and the person who was leading the service was singing the Amida, singing the beginning of the Shemoneh Esrei, but it wasn't on Shabbos. It was like a Tuesday afternoon, it was like a Tuesday evening. So when a person sings, that what he's really saying is, I never come to shul other than Shabbos, and it happens to be that so this is what I know. So though he doesn't broadcast it, but anybody who's sort of like, you know, so I was looking at another friend of mine who we understood the message, and we both come from the East Coast, and we both thought to ourselves, what would be if this guy, you know, would be in the East Coast? There were guys with, you know, they would like laugh at him, you know. So we discussed it afterwards, and he thought it's a very beautiful thing. Here's this guy, you know, he's making progress. A little embarrassing. In other words, somebody should show him what it means to not sing because it's a Tuesday, and we don't need your voice, singing voice, on a Tuesday night. But on the other hand,
why?
Because we gotta go. It's time, you know.
Maybe you have all the people.
I
heard your husband
dies. No, he goes quick.
I don't like that.
Maybe he was a
husband. Oh, we will do it that later. So the point. So what's it? So on the one hand, we like the comfort. On the other hand, we also like the wonder. Levaker beheicholo, the visitor, right? The one who lives across from the Kotel, right? And he has an apartment there. And during his shower, he can hear kadosh, 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 right? And he has these halachi. So how, it's not the same, right? It's not the same as the one who's going to the Kotel after, you know. And it's a very different feeling. So on the one hand, we want the excitement of levaker beheicholo. Levaker means to visit. On the other hand, we want the intimacy of the consistent practice. And that's what David says. Achat sha'alti ota avakesh. And it's a separate request. Achat sha'alti, there's one thing I want. There's one thing I'm asking for, and that's to dwell in the house of God. But I don't just want that. Ota avakesh. Avakesh means to desire it. Ota, I want that sense of excitement. And therefore, when we walk into a Rosh Hashanah, when we walk into the Yemei HaDin, what we have to ask ourselves is, what can we do in our daily, right, to make it exciting again? You know, what can we do to... And it could be something as simple as... Like, I when I was growing up, I was taught to say a prayer before tefillin. And that prayer was a paragraph that was took me about 2 minutes to say. And sometime in the course of my very hurried life, I stopped it. And about 2 months ago, or maybe a month ago, I started it again after about a 25-year hiatus. It's not a mandatory paragraph. It's a prefatory paragraph. And now, my tefillin, now I actually realize when I'm putting them on. Right? As opposed to most people who put on tefillin, or many people who put on tefillin, it's like, you know, oh, how did they get on here? Wow, that's wild. How did that happen? Right? It could be something like something that makes you stop. Right? You light the candles. We say a davening. Something new. Something original. Something special. A little thing. A little thing. An extra 30 seconds. 10 seconds. Something that makes us focus. It could be something like that. That, it doesn't just give me the 10 seconds, but it gives me a whole new perspective on what I'm doing. Levakir, working into Rosh Hashanah, it's a tremendous thing. The ability to stop and reassess, it's a pain in the neck, and it's hard. But it gives us this tremendous, like, the greatest time of the year that most people experience is the very end of Yom Kippur. The very end of Yom Kippur. Many people, it's like the high point, right? And they're saying, Hashem will Kim Hashem. Why is that? Because it's the culmination of the work and the effort and the insight and the assessment. Levaker beichalo. I want the comfort, but I want the newness. That's the Rabbi Friend, I'll end with this. Rabbi Friend tells a story of a Jew who walks into shul and he clearly doesn't know how to put on his tefillin. You know, he's a Baal Tshuva. And when you're a Baal Tshuva, as I like to say, a bar mitzvah kid, when he puts on his tefillin, so either if he puts it on, I remember when I put on my tefillin the first time, so I'm cutting off my circulation, right? It's, you know, and then I loosen a little bit, but then by the time you finish loosening it to them, all the straps get loose. Like it's feast or famine. It's like, you know, you think you got it, and then it just droops down. It's like a whole thing, you know. And he sees this Baal Tshuva trying to figure it out, and my friend goes over to him and he says, "Do you feel self-conscious?" So he says, yes. So he says, "I want to give you a bracha. You should always feel self-conscious when you're putting on your tefillin. You should always realize for the rest of your life that you're putting on your tefillin. We have to regain the wonder. Levaker beichalo. I don't just want to be comfortable. I want to find the excitement." Okay, we'll stop here and we will pick it up not next week, because that's already Rosh Hashanah. But the week after that, I think it's good, right? The week after that,
right.
It's good. Yeah, absolutely. We're doing it. Okay?